still talking about faith changing your world. Anybody need their world changed with some faith? Every day. Tell you what, I know Christians were praying as Alan, you know, I pray that young man had a turn of heart before he blew himself up. But, you know, doing all those things and his family, we just need to pray for them. And, you know, tonight we're back in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, and to see some more aspects of what faith is. And, you know, the first one we're going to talk about tonight is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, about Noah. And, you know, when God spoke to Noah, you know, he just got busy building the ark. You know, really anybody could have gotten on that ark, but nobody wanted to. And, you know, I guess we could say it like that. Our part's to present the ark to people. Say, you know, we know about this ark. Because we know, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be when he comes again. And so, that came upon them suddenly. It wasn't that they didn't have opportunity. But, you know, we got to be about building our ark. You know, we're saved. That's a picture of the ark. But sharing others that, you know, there will be times that come because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be a time when we're caught up, caught away. And those that don't know Jesus, it's not going to be a good day. That won't be a good day. But we can help people to know Jesus, and that will prepare them whenever it comes. And it may not come like that for some of us. Some of us may just die in the Lord. We may, different things happen sometimes. But when we're in Him, we're ready. So I was thinking about that when I thought about Noah, that, you know, Noah just got busy building that ark. And that's what we need to do, is to just tell people, you know, there's a safe place for you. Because, you know, when those things like that happen in Austin, you know, I mean, of course, it's close to home for us. You know, it makes people afraid. You know, the Bible even says men's hearts will fail them. They'll perish because their hearts will fail because of fear. I mean, and nobody wants that to happen, but you know what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, if it were to happen something like that, but not everybody's ready. But, you know, we can have peace in the midst of all of that that goes on. And so, you know, we have good news. We have a message. And if the world grows darker and darker, the church will go brighter and brighter. And people will want the light and want to know the hope that we have. Because Jesus said, don't fear those who kill the body, but those who can kill the soul, take the soul. So, which that's the devil, you know. No man can take it, but the enemy can when we don't give our lives to Jesus. So tonight we're going to start with Noah, Hebrews 11:7. In the Amplified Bible it says it like this, it's prompted by faith. Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief, and he became an heir and possessor of righteousness. Again, those around him, they could have had God. They could have walked with God. Genesis says that he walked habitually with God. They could have as well. They chose not to. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. You know, one thing I noticed in the Amplified, it says that he took heed. What God told him, he took heed to. That means he didn't just hear it and forget about it. He took heed, and then he took action. He didn't say, oh, well, God said this, and maybe someday I'll get around to it. But he took heed. And God, to me, is always telling us things we need to take heed to. We need to take action on. And not because we're condemned if we don't, but it's because we're protected when we do. And it said, then he just diligently set about to construct and prepare an ark. And it wasn't that He had ever seen it rain or anything be flooded or anything else, but he just went on what God told him, what God said, and we can do the same thing. In the Passion Translation, it says, "Faith opened Noah's heart to receive revelation and warnings from God about what was coming, even things that had never been seen. But he stepped out in reverent obedience to God and built an ark that would save him and his family. By his faith, the world was condemned, but Noah received God's gift of righteousness that comes by believing." Just by believing. And then his actions followed his believing. When God told Noah what was going to happen, that he was going to flood the earth and that he wanted him to build an ark, he demonstrated his faith by building that ark. Remember, faith without works is dead. You can say, "I believe what you say," but God gave him something to do. So his faith was demonstrated by what he did. So another aspect of faith is that faith is a labor. Do y'all think that was a little labor to build a boat like that? If you go to Kentucky and you go to the ark, and you see that life-size thing, and you think, Noah, and I guess his sons helped him. I pray they did. Maybe it's why. But when you see it, real life, life-size, you know, it's big. And not to mention just the outside, but all the cages and all the stuff. Because in Kentucky, that's what it looks like. They built it as if, you know, Noah built it with all the places to hold the animals and the food and everything that they needed. And that was a labor. That his faith, there was labor to that faith. Faith is working for God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him." Everything that God told him to do. He wasn't thinking up things to do on his own. He did what God told him to do. And God told him how to build it. And he built it to his specifications. Faith has to do with labor. God told Noah to build an ark, and he called that instrument that produced it faith. Don't you know that Noah might have gotten tired a day or two? You think he might want to say, "Oh my gosh." I mean, you know, we do that on just, you know, a few things we do. You know, he was 500 years old when God spoke to him. But you know, faith propels you, though. It propels you. God gives you the grace. And when you just say yes to Him, once you do, it's just like the grace of God keeps you. And whatever that labor of faith is, it keeps you and helps you. And although Noah had never built an ark before, he didn't let that stop him. He didn't say, "Well, I don't know how to build a boat. I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I don't know how to do that." The power of faith came, and he carried out the directions of the Holy Spirit as they were spoken to him. He obeyed and did by faith what God asked. You know, faith is an act. It's a work. It's a labor. It takes faith to step out into the unknown, as Noah did. Faith is a labor of love for God. And believe me, people will not always thank you, and most of the time won't. But you know what? We shouldn't look for our thanks from people. It'll be God that says to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's God that will speak to you and say that. And that's who we do what we do for. For Him, for our love for Him, and for the love of His people and our family. You know, Noah began building or laboring by faith in response to God's words to him. He labored by faith, not by sight. He just had to take what God said and believe it, and then just step out into it. You know, I just think of, you know, when God began to speak to us about a church here in Luling, and that He wanted to raise up a work here. Well, we had no idea what our part would be. All we knew is that's what He said He wanted to do. He wanted to build an ark in Luling, I guess you could say. And, you know, it's been a labor. But you don't think of it like that. You're just in doing what God, gives you the grace to do and what you know He has said to do. And you know the thing about the Lord, and I say, and I just want you to think about it in your life, of things that God would speak to you. And don't let it stop you, because the enemy will tell you, well, you can't. Well, you don't know how to do that. We didn't know how to start a church. All we had to do, first thing you have to do when He speaks to you is just to say yes. You don't have to know everything, because you're not going to know everything. Neither does He show you everything when He speaks to you. He just begins to speak. He says, I want to do this. I thought, great idea. I didn't realize that it was going to, not that I regret it, but I just didn't realize. And I'm glad He didn't tell me, because I might have said, ooh, I don't know. You know, but when you just say yes to God, He will lead you every step of the way. And it's like, you know, like on a path in a dark night, and the light you have will just show those few steps. And then you have to put your light, and then you walk, and you have to extend your light out for more steps to go. And that's how it is with God. He'll give you something, and then you take a little step. You know, I would say, when you're, well, and it's what the Bible says, but this is, in my opinion, how I've experienced God doing it and how I see you do it in other people's lives. That when you're faithful over a little, He'll make you ruler over much. And your first steps will be over the little. They'll be over the scrub the toilets, maybe. Or maybe do Sunday school with a handful of children, you know, every Sunday, because you're the only people that are there to do it. You know what I mean? It's those little things, and you just step out in them, and you just stay faithful in that. Carla and I were talking the other night. I said, you know, our hand's on the plow. If you let things distract you or pull you this way and that way, that's what the enemy wants to do. Because, you know, when we first began, there were 13 people that counted children for over a year. And, you know, the enemy whispers in your ears, anybody ever going to want to come to this church? Well, you know what? God told us that He wanted to build it. So He's the builder. He's the architect. So you just got to have that. Because whether you're the 13 that stay there forever, you have to determine whatever God's given you to do, you'll do it for Him if you're the only one. You've got to determine, because that will shut the enemy up. Because the enemy is going to try to move you with circumstances and feelings and encouragement, discouragement, you know, whatever it is. Because faith is a labor. It is a labor in God. And some people, you know, I can remember, I knew Al and I were called to full-time ministry. I didn't, for a long, long time, I didn't know what it would look like. But I just knew that God had called us to that. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. When we stepped into full-time ministering as pastors, what that means to me is I no longer taught at the school and pastored. You know, I call full-time not having to do something else, you know, where you're just can focus totally on it. It wasn't what I was not what I expected. There was more of a labor to it than I expected. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying prior to coming to that place, and really probably prior to pastoring, even when we did it, you know, bivocational and everything, I still had the mentality, oh, just worship, you know, like when you come to church, you just worship, you go home, you know. Oh, and that's just going to carry, but there's other responsibilities and other things that come with it. And so, you know, I had to learn, because I had, I had a misconception about what I thought it would be. I thought I would ride on a glory cloud every day. And I'm not saying you can't, but you don't ride on a glory feeling every day. And sometimes ministry is just plowing. Or whatever God gives you to do, it's plowing. It's laboring when it looks like nothing's happening or nothing's growing or nothing's being fruitful. And I just say that so that you'll know, you'll just keep your hand on the plow, whether it goes up or things go down. You'll just stay faithful to what God gives you. It could be in your job. It could be wherever, because God wants to minister through you wherever you are, wherever your field of ministry is, not only here in the church, but out in the highways and the byways. You know, say the Lord wants you to speak to someone and witness to someone, or just share the love of God with them. And maybe that person doesn't receive it or doesn't respond as you had hoped. See, the enemy doesn't want you to ever do that again. So he's going to try to make sure we get a few of those so that we'll never want to open our mouth again. But keep opening your mouth. Like David said, I'll be yet more vile in the morning. And just keep opening your mouth and keep dancing before the Lord and keep your hand on the plow and keep doing what God has told you to do. Not when somebody else says that they think you should do, but what God has spoken to you, because there the grace will be, there your faith will be, and you'll see the fruit of your labor. At some point, I just say this, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look around for any gratification here. Just do it because you love Him and because it's what He's called you to do. So we learn that faith, an aspect of faith is labor. I don't want you to ever not know that. So when you do the things God's called you, just know you're going to labor some. But God's with you to strengthen you and help you, and there's joy in the midst of it. The other thing, the other scripture we want to look at in Hebrews 11, we want to look at Abraham, verses 8 through 10. Another aspect of what faith is. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, we want to talk about Abraham. It says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went. He went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. He didn't think. He didn't stop and try to figure it out and get it all planned out. God said, go. He obeyed and went. That's what Abraham did. He did not trouble his mind about where he's... You know what? That was God's deal. You know, when God spoke to us that he wanted to raise up or work here, we did not trouble, by the grace of God, we didn't trouble our minds about how or what or where. In fact, we looked at another building on the north side where the Lutheran church is now. That's the first building we looked at, you know, when God was working. God just takes you step by step. It's fun. It's exciting. And look, here's Abraham. God told him, get up and head out. And he did. And he went, although he did not know where he was to go. And he didn't worry about it. He just went. Verse 9. Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land, which was designated in the promise of God. Though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. So here he is in this land that has been promised to him, but he's living there like a stranger. And he lived with Isaac and Jacob because they were fellow heirs with him of that same promise. And then in verse 10 it says, for he, Abraham, was waiting expectantly, and he was confidently looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was just, you know, there was a natural land. They were going into the land of Canaan, but he was seeing past that. You know, he was seeing into the heavenly realm. He was seeing past into what God was doing in the generations to come. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. It says, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call. I'll be honest, you have to have faith in God. You have to have your trust in God that God's going to lead you, that He's going to help you, and that He's going to give you whatever you need. Because when He calls you to do something, many times it's in the area you have no clue of how to do it. Like Noah, like Abraham. Abraham didn't know where to go. He was just trusting God. We didn't know how to start a church. We didn't know how to do that. There's always an element of the unknown in faith, but you just step out. Willie George would always say, God can't guide a parked car. You must put it in drive. You have to put it in drive and say, Lord, in Proverbs you said, if I'll acknowledge you in all my ways, you'll guide my steps. So I ask you to guide me. And you just pray and ask Him to show you, and He will. So in the Passion Translation, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. Verse 9, he lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land, as though it belonged to someone else. He journeyed through the land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. And then in verse 10, his eyes of faith, Abraham's eyes of faith, were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. There's a footnote in the Passion Translation under that part of verse 10 of Hebrews 11 that when it says in the Passion Translation, his eyes of faith were set on the city. The footnote in the Passion Translation says this. It says, his eyes of faith... this is what it says in the translation. It says his eyes of faith were set on the city. And this it can also be translated this way. He was continually receiving the city. And I just thought about that. Because what did Abraham step out on? He stepped out on a promise. A promise. The same things that you have here. He stepped out on a promise. We stepped out on a promise that God was raising up a work here. It was a promise to us. It was a word to us. It's what God said He was doing. And that's what we stepped out on. But when you step out, I love this. It said, He was continually receiving the city. He was continually receiving that which God had promised. And so as you're on your journey, as Abraham, you have to continually receive what God said, like us with the church. First we met at Wanda's in Bible studies. Then we met in another family's home for a year. Then Jack said we could meet at Carter & Company building. So then 13 of us met there for a year without a pastor, just taking turns teaching and sharing each Sunday. But we step down on a promise and you just do it by faith. But you keep receiving that God had said He was raising up a work. Do you see what I'm saying? It can be provision. It can be healing. Whatever the promise is, peace in your life, deliverance. The promise is here. Keep receiving what He has said until you see it manifest. Abraham did inherit that land. But he didn't inherit it immediately. But he had to step out and begin to journey toward that place. He had to get out from his familiar place and step out. We had to step out from the church we were in since I was 2 and a half. I don't know how old Alan was when... I'm just saying, sometimes God calls you out of the familiar, and a lot of times, all the time, and then in the midst of it, then He'll call you to do something that you don't know how to do or you have no confidence in doing. Trust Him. And I'm not saying that you won't feel afraid, but Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. You better do it afraid. You know why? Because if the enemy gets you so afraid you don't do it, then you won't do it. So you're going to have to do it afraid. If you can't shake off the feelings of fear, my gosh, I've always had fear in some of those areas and just had to shake it off or just stand up there afraid. And I just encourage you not, because I know God's called all of you to things in your life. And you know, it's not just one thing. In the process, there's different things. He'll call you to do this, then He'll call you to do this, and He'll say, now do this, now this. But it's all headed into that direction of what He has for you. But it just grows and grows, and it develops. It doesn't just, boom, you get there, boom, that's it. Okay, I'm done. I just don't think you're ever through in God. If you want to be and you want to retire, I guess you can. Or if you just want to say, I just want to go. I don't want to do anything. I just want to go and enjoy the service. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, but God wants to minister through you to someone. No matter what your age. He wants to be working through you and ministering through you. He wants to do that. Continually receive that promise. As Abraham walked, just eyes were on the cities, eyes were on God. Continually receiving. So as we can see from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, faith is a pilgrimage. It's a journey. God asked Abraham to give up his comfortable, familiar city, family, friends. He told him to leave his father. His father was an idol worshiper. Told him to leave him. Told him to leave him, his friends, to journey to a place that God would show him. Let's look in Genesis chapter 12. We'll read where God's talking to him. Abraham just trusted God. Just believed God. Noah believed God by faith. It's just believing God. They did great things because they believed God. They walked in fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 12, starting verse 1. This is where he gave him the instructions. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, he hadn't become Abraham yet. So he stepped out before his name was changed, for he'd been promised. See, the first step was just to step up and step out. He didn't have that promise yet of being a father of many nations. He stepped out when he was Abram. He said, go for yourself. And the Amplified, it says, for your own advantage. It's always for your own advantage to go, to obey God, to do what He asks you to do. It's always for your own advantage. Go away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Don't you think that might have been just slightly hard to imagine where he was? But that didn't let him stop. He just said, okay, let's go. I don't know how you're going to do that, God, but let's go. And he went. And I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. So Abram departed as the Lord had directed him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and their servants that they had acquired in Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of Canaan. So he got up, he went. Faith is a pilgrimage, it's a journey. And you know what? God may not want you to give up everything, but He wants you to be willing to. He wants you to be willing to do it. That's part of God testing, is to see what you're willing to do. Remember, He asked Abraham to give up Isaac. And Abraham so knew God. He said, we'll be back. He said, they asked him, where are you going? He said, we'll be back. He said, God will provide. Isaac asked, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. Abraham knew God, knew his character. But he was willing to obey and to step out. And God may not want you to give up everything again, but He wants you to be willing to do it. He wants you to say from your heart, Lord, I'm willing. You know, we've told this before that, and I don't know, as I was, you know, writing this and studying this, and I thought, you know, Lord, was that a test somehow? But, you know, we've told you that a pastor in San Angelo called our pastor and asked him if he would be willing to release us and worship leaders to go to San Angelo, to his church. And it was a big church. And our pastor said yes. He said he felt like it'd be a promotion for us. And, you know, it just made our hearts go. You know, just because we felt called here. We have family here. And you just think, you know, but we were willing. And what we only thing we wanted to know is this God's will for us? Because man can tell you many things, but you've got to know, is this what God is saying to you? You got to know that, because believe me, The enemy will try to shake you, and if it can be shaken, it will. But if you know it's God, no matter what, that will help you to just stay steady till the storm passes. And so, you know, we've told you we went weekend after weekend and praying. And I told Alan, if you can just tell me it's God, I just can't sense and hear that it's God that we go there, you know. And as it turned out, it was not God. And, you know, the last thing we did, we went and we, I told Alan, I said, you know, maybe it's somebody else led worship. Because we would go and we would lead worship. When we'd go, our kids would go with us and we'd all go and we'd lead worship there in San Angelo. And well, our sons went. Sally had already graduated and she didn't go. But, you never try to hear God and you feel like you got your ear pressed like crazy and you just can't hear and or get a sense of what He wants you to do. I always say, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. And we didn't. We didn't say yes. We didn't. We just kept going and going. And they really wanted us there by October the 1st of that year. So we probably went, I don't know if it was all of September or if it was October, part of August and October. But the point is, the last time we went, we asked them to have somebody else lead worship so we could just sit. You know, maybe we can hear God better if we can just worship and not have any kind of responsibility, just worship. And there was a young man that led the worship. The man who used to pastor that church, it was his son, was leading worship that day. And they lived in San Marcos. His dad and his brother, they had moved to San Marcos to start a church in the Austin area. And that's where this young man was who led the worship that day. And he led worship, and we got through, and we were kind of walking out in the foyer. His name's Eric, and I said to Eric, I mean, out of my mouth came these words. It is what was in my heart. It's what I thought. But I said to him, I said, well, Eric, you ought to be leading worship here. That's what I said to him. And do you know what? That's what was in his heart. He was in his heart to go back, but he didn't want to ask because they had already asked us. And it was in his heart all along to go back. And the house that he had there that he left to move to San Marcos was there, and it was becoming available. Anybody want to guess when? October the 1st. It was becoming available October the 1st. He had a home to come back to. It was ready, and that was God. I mean, fireworks went off. But, you know, that wasn't wasted. God saw that we were willing to go wherever, even if that meant leaving our family, our parents. Probably some of our children, because they were telling us they weren't going. We were going to make Patrick. He was still, anyway. But, you know, I'm just saying, faith is a pilgrimage. And you don't always know where you're going. You don't know, always know, even sometimes when God, you feel that it's something, like we felt like that was God for us to go, but you know what? But we didn't realize it wasn't the end destination. This was the end destination. But God had a plan and a purpose in that. And we may not understand all of what it is, but we formed wonderful relationships and good things. So just trust God when He leads you out and try not to tell Him what to do. You know, try to let Him direct. Try to let Him take care of you. You know, God wants to know that you're willing. Abraham did it. He was willing. And not only was he willing, but he stepped out into what God said. Faith is a pilgrimage. God wanted Abraham to go into action. And his faith was demonstrated by a pilgrimage. He walked out of Ur of the Chaldees looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. And God called it faith. God called that faith Him stepping out from where He was. God may want you to change jobs sometime. You know, I don't know. He wanted me to retire from the school I taught at and volunteered at for 25 years. He told me one day to retire, offer my retirement to help the school. You know, I didn't trouble my mind. God had spoken it. I knew He spoke it. So I just told Alan, this is what God said, so this is what we do. And God made everything fall into place. Sometimes you just have to leave. You just have to step out in what He says. Abraham had a pilgrim spirit. He didn't love the things of the world. He didn't love the things there in his hometown, in his city, more than he loved God. He loved God. And when God said go, he went. And he didn't trouble his mind about where he was to go. That's faith. Completely trusting in God's power, wisdom, and goodness. And he wants to do it in all of our lives. In all of our lives. He leads us. He didn't just lead you if you pastor, you're a minister, you're a missionary. He leads you every day in your life and directs you. I mean, he did so many things for us. He told us to put our children in a Christian school. That was God speaking to us. We didn't just decide it from here. He spoke to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us every area, and he will. Faith is a pilgrimage. At the voice of God, Abraham cut everything loose. He didn't know what was out there but God. So he walked and he talked with God in faith, allowing God to direct him. Faith is a pilgrimage with God. Just breaking loose from everything and saying, Lord, have your way. I'm walking with you. And it's not you thinking, I'm going to do this. No, I'm talking about God speaking to you. I'm talking about God telling you, not you getting a bright idea. I'm talking about knowing that God has spoken to you. And if you do get a bright idea, test it, pray it, and make sure it's God. Because there's people that have come to us that have said, well, God told me, but when they told us things, we knew it wasn't. We knew. You know, the wisdom of God was not in it. But when people tell you God told me, you know, I just encourage you, just pray and let God show you and confirm it. Especially in those big decisions. That was a big decision for us to move there. That was, and we weren't dragging our feet. We just couldn't say, yes, God said to go. It was for no other reason, but we could not say that we knew that we knew that God had said to go. Faith can change this world if men and women will pay the price for having it. They paid a price for their faith. Noah paid a price. Abraham paid a price. Everybody that walks by faith pays a price. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Too many say, well, we don't want to surrender to God. We don't want to walk with God. We don't want to labor for God. We don't want to be a pilgrim for God. We want security. We want our jobs. We want our houses. We want familiarity. We just want everything to stay the same. And that's okay if God's leading that way. But it's not okay when we don't even give Him the option. I test myself sometimes. I said, Lord, and have I just been doing what I know to do and not said, is there anything you want to change? Is there something else you want to do different? Is there, you know, are you wanting to ruffle my nest? You know, and you say, well, don't pray that. But you know, I lived 26 years not following God. I want to follow Him. I just forget to ask those questions. It's not that I'm not in the will, but say, God, is there something new you want to do? Is there something different? Is there, what do you have for me today? Ask Him. I tell you, He'll show you. He's looking for willing vessels. The most secure place you can be is in the will of God for your life. The best thing you can be tied to is God and nothing else. Faith is a labor and it's a pilgrimage. Are you willing to go with God? Father, we thank You for all the aspects of faith, Lord, because it truly is. But Lord, with You, life is an adventure. I would say an aspect of faith is also an adventure. And it's never boring with You, Lord. It's always exciting, even in the midst, because of Your presence. Because when we walk with You and we talk and we just lean on You, God, You're there and we're in Your presence. Just like Adam in the garden. When You walked with Him in the cool of the evening. Father, You're with us. I know a lot of people say, oh, if we could have just lived in the days of Jesus. But are we not living in the best days? Because Jesus, You said it was more advantageous that You go away because You would send the Holy Spirit to live in You. And we can have You in us every day. And Father, we love it. And we're so thankful that You've taught us and shown us that we can fellowship with You, that we can know Your presence intimately every day. We don't just have to wait to come to church. We don't have to just wait to get in a song service or a prayer meeting. But every day we can lift our hearts toward You, and You're just there with Your sweet, sweet presence, loving on us as we love on You. Father, I pray over everyone here tonight. I pray, Father, You will just stir in them desire to know what You have for them. Help them to be patient as they hear and listen. Help them to keep doing what they know to do. But God, I pray for fresh manna from heaven, fresh direction. Maybe some have been seeking You and just don't know it's just not clarified yet. Help them to be patient. But Father, we pray for clarification. Give them wisdom. Have people speak into their lives. Help have someone just come along, or maybe they'll hear a minister on TV, or maybe something a friend says or one of us says, God, that will just help to clarify things. Or maybe they've known and had a sense of it, but God, and just hadn't been sure, is it the time to step out? Help them to know, God, that this is You, and yes, it is time to step out. Father, I pray that You will bring clarity tonight for those that have had questions. And Father, for those that haven't even asked the question yet, I pray they'll ask. I pray they'll want to just set forth like Abraham and Noah and Enoch and God, just all the heroes of the faith, Father. Sarah had to go with Abraham. She received too. That we will just say, hey, we're in the end of the end times. It's time to just step up into what God's got. I just thank You, Father, for doing that, making every provision. In Jesus.